God is good
all the time.
Can you see me in the corner by the South Hall exit? Wave if you can. I know there's a big screen over here. You seem so far away. What about in this corner over here? Good morning, family. Good morning, family. Hope for the best, expect the best. Is that you, Lord? My wife and I have been lifting that theme since the beginning of the year. Hope for the best, expect the best. I think that's the rumbling up there. Do you know why we are here? Annual conference, I mean. Do you know why we are here? This is our annual Christian conference, our big family meeting. The one time that all of the churches of the United Methodist Church in the state of Iowa, all of the institutions, we come together for our one big family reunion. Amen? We are here because Jesus is Lord. We are here because we are family. And when we gather as a family, God is always with us, stirring our imaginations, moving our hearts, and freeing our lives from the bondage of sin and fears. We are family. And like big families, getting us all together in one place on one accord takes some doing. Amen. Thank God for Ruach, the Holy Spirit, the holy breath of God, the breath of God that can transform a collection of dry bones into a living witness to the goodness of God. Every year, 57 annual conferences are led by 46 bishops in the United States. In Africa, Europe, and the Philippines, 76 annual conferences are led by 20 bishops. Annual conference is described in the 2012 United Methodist Book of Discipline as the basic unit of the church. As I interpret and celebrate this understanding, I want you to pay close attention to why the local congregations in our church body are all connected. Somebody shout, connected.
Connected.
Somebody shout, connected.
Connected.
We are all connected, and therefore we are one family. We are connected to Jesus as Lord. We are connected to each other in prayer and in practice. We are connected as we come together, we learn together, we give and we serve together. We declare our connectedness in the very first paragraph of the adopted strategic priorities. We are connected by the Holy Spirit into one body. Let me remind you. The Iowa Conference of the United Methodist Church exists to encourage communities of faithful people who live out the love of Jesus as the instrument of God's grace, peace, and justice. We are lay people and clergy, churches of all sizes, ministries and programs, all connected by the Holy Spirit into one body. The Iowa Conference, in order to live out our mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We gather now with the post-Easter update, if you will. We are connected to the Christians from Acts, the first chapter. Friends, hear these words from Acts 1, verses 4 through 9 from the Common English Bible. While they were eating together, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. He said, "This is what you heard from me. John baptized with water, but in only a few days you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit." As a result, those who gathered together asked Jesus, "Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now?" Jesus replied, "It isn't for you to know the times or season that when the Holy Spirit has come down upon you, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." After Jesus said these things, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Our strength and our source of power as a church is not in our budget or even in our stated beliefs, but what God has done and Jesus has promised to continue to do through us. We are descendants of the crowds in Acts 2, the Pentecost people. And I'm so pleased that Bishop Linda Lee is here, and so glad that she will be sharing with us on Sunday tomorrow, on Pentecost Sunday, what God has laid on her heart. We are descendants of Acts 11, the Jerusalem church, the same church that questioned Peter. They questioned Peter, "Wait a minute. You went to the household of the uncircumcised. Wait a minute. Are you saying to me, Peter, that my whole household can be saved?" The work of the Holy Spirit, friends, is everywhere and for everyone. We remember the words of Jesus. "John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." The work of the Holy Spirit is everywhere and for everyone. And we will witness that work and experience the blessing of the Holy Spirit as we gather here these next 3 days. Hear these words from Acts the 17th chapter that affirm that we are one family. "Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, 'Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. As he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell in all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from one of us. For in him we live, we move, and we have our being. And also some of your own poets have said, 'For we are also his offspring.'" From the Common English Bible, Acts 17, verse 26. "From one person, God created every human nation to live on the whole earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their lands." We are one family. We are one family. We are the offspring of the early church. We are the offspring of the body of Christ. Every human being in the world is classified as Homo sapiens. Scientists agree there's really only one biological race of humans. Any two people from anywhere in the world, the basic genetic difference would be 0.2 to 0.9%. Now, some of us have a little more melanin than others, amen? But the only reason we think we have major differences is because we have been taught to see difference from a tribal view of life. We have been seduced down the trail of idolatry, political, theological, cultural, racial, and tribal worship. Romans 10:12 puts it best for me, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich to all who call upon God." We are one family. We are one family. So we can have conference priorities and unleash the laity, the laos, to do the work of Christ together with the clergy. We can imagine a faithful church at its best when people on the outside can't wait to get in to experience radical hospitality and meaningful and moving worship. And the people on the inside, that would be us, can't wait to get out so that we might share the love of Jesus Christ in neighborhoods all over the world. From mosquito nets to medicine, to food for the hungry, to hope for the hurting, to welcome for the stranger, to justice for the oppressed, to space for family conversations. We are one family. In the last 10 months, I have experienced more earnest prayer and meaningful conversation regarding the United Methodist Church, our future, and what we do have and do not have as a way forward regarding human sexuality and what our Book of Discipline says. As a bishop of the church, privileged to serve in Iowa, I'm going to continue to pray and preach and push as hard as I can to promote the unity of the church. We pray, thy will be done. And I invite you to join me in that time of prayer. I also invite you to join me in a season of conversations over the next months as we consider what God is calling us to do and to be. People often ask me where I live. Hence, I brought one of my suitcases to talk to you about that in a minute. Where do you live? I live at a place where we believe no child should be hungry. Bishop, where do you live? I live in a place where we believe schoolgirls should not be abducted. Where do you live? I live in a place where we believe elderly should not be abused or neglected, a place where people can differ on their understanding of the Bible and not be demonized or colonized, a place where hospitality is not a word about a practice, but at the heart of who we are. Where do you live? I live in a place where the gospel is preached and the afflicted are comforted and the comfortable are afflicted. Where do you live? I live in a place where the poor receive good news and preachers like me don't wait for a perfect church to preach a perfect love. Last year we set a goal. There may be up on the screen. We did. We set a goal to save 200,000 lives through Imagine No Malaria. Friends, I want you to know we're almost there. Give God a hand praise. And we will adjourn the annual conference on Monday at some point. But before we adjourn, I'm claiming it in the name of Jesus that we would have surpassed saving 200,000 lives and raising over $2 million for Imagine No Malaria. Last year, we set strategic priorities. Number one, establish new communities of faith and revitalize existing congregations. Equipping transformational leaders, lay and clergy. Aligning our resources in support of our goals. You'll hear more about that later. And now think about the next 12 months. What should we focus on? We should remember the main thing, to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We should make space for holy conversations about human sexuality, about race relations. Make space for conversations about what God is calling us to do and to be here in the state of Iowa. Over the next 12 months, we should push prayer, pray until something good happens. John C. Maxwell's book, Think on These Things, he writes these words, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And I believe success is wrapped up in our faithfulness, knowing a truth and accepting it, finding a need and filling it, facing a challenge and meeting it, losing a life and finding it, having a plan and following it, developing a talent and sharing it, going to heaven and knowing it. They ask me, Bishop, where are you from? I say, I'm from Iowa. And so when I leave annual conference on Monday, I'm going to go back to Norwalk. But are you really from Iowa? I said, well, for 20 years I lived in Ohio. Oh, so you're really from Ohio? Well, not exactly. If I pack my bags and go back to Norwalk and pack my bags and go back to where I used to live, it would be Ohio. But I was born in Chicago. Oh, so you're really from Chicago? Well, I was born there, but I don't know if I would say I was from there. My parents are from Alabama. Oh, so you're really from Alabama? If I packed my bags, I'd end up in Chicago, but I couldn't stay there. I'd have to pack my bags and go back to where my parents were born, but they really weren't born in the city. They were born in the country. So I'd have to pack my bags and go back to where they were born, and they'd have to pack their bags and go back. Here's my point, friends, that if you pack your bags and keep going back to where you're from, we would all end up in one little village somewhere by the Tigris and the Euphrates. We are one family. No matter what we try to say, no matter how we try to explain it, we are one family. Now, you don't have to agree with me, I'm still right. We are one family. Acts 17 says that of one blood, every nation has come. Of one family, every nation has come. In spite of how we try to divide ourselves tribally, theologically, denominationally, here's an insight. I don't know this to be true for sure, but I believe when we get to heaven, there won't be a section for the Methodists and a section for the Roman Catholics and a section for the Orthodox and a section for the conservatives and a section for the liberals and the sections for those who are of this party or that party, or those who were north or those who were south. It won't be a section for the tall or the short. It won't be a section for those who got to conference on time or those who chose not to come. There'll be one call. It'll be a family call to the family reunion. And I had a video that it was supposed to start off, and I'd like to close with that video. And I just want to say this Episcopal address doesn't have 3 points. It has 1 point. We are family. Let it be so. Let's have the video if we still have it. All right.
I love annual conference because I love my family. Amen.